We're glad that Brother Baron Longstreth is here. Let's give him a hand. Lord bless you.
Well, it is incredible to be back in Newark, America. Amen. I love what I feel in the house of the Lord tonight. God checked my spirit while Sister Showstrand was talking just a minute ago and laid something upon my heart, and I want to get into it really quick. But before I do, I want to tell the Showstrands, of course, how much they mean to our family. This church family means so much to our family. Caitlin, the Post family, this family has invested in us in more ways than I could probably bring to the table tonight. And you know how incredible they are. I love them very much. I'm privileged to be a young minister coming up under the tutelage of such incredible people. I thank God for elders like that in my life. They might not consider themselves elders, but they're elders in my life nonetheless. Great sounding boards to my family, and I am very honored that he would allow me to be in this pulpit tonight. I don't take it for granted in any measure. I've heard from two or three people the incredible nature of this morning's message. Amen. I'm praying that there is an archive of some sort that I can grab that. Amen. There is nothing like a greater understanding of the fear of the Lord. Praise God. Mine tonight, what I want to bring to the table. In fact, I've confused the media team, so they're going to have to work with me. I feel something very simplistic tonight, but I feel the edge of faith. I feel like this church is on the precipice of something that God is miraculously wanting to do throughout. And I concur with your first lady in saying that I believe in a God who is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we could ask or we could even think. I believe in that powerful God, and I know you do as well. And I'm ready to get into a place in which God begins to move the way that I believe He really wants to move. I want this place to be full of faith, not just on this night, but from this night forward. Amen. Praise God. I believe that God is the God of cancer. I believe He can heal cancer. I've seen it done. I've seen the miraculous hand of God. And I know you have as well. And we believe in that God, don't we? We believe, we put our faith. We wouldn't be here if we did not believe in that God. Amen. The Bible says He has a name that is above every name. Every name. No matter what science may call it, no matter what medical science may call it, they can call it whatever they want. We know that there is a name that is greater than the name of cancer. Come on, somebody. I'm just preaching to faith tonight. He is able to do it. He is able to do it. Amen. I know you know that. We serve such a mighty God. Amen. I'm going to take your attention quickly to the book of Mark, chapter number 5, beginning in verse number 25. Praise God. My apologies to your media team for this, giving me the thumbs up. We're all right. He's not going to put up there some Old Testament scripture. Mark 5, 25. The Bible says, "And a certain woman which had an issue of blood 12 years." Skipping down to verse number 28 and verse number 29. "For she said, if I may touch but his clothes, I shall be whole. And straightway the fountain of her blood was dried up. And she felt in her body that she was healed of that plague." Amen. And then verse number 34. These are the words of Jesus Christ after he looked around. People were thronging him. The disciples were reminding him of something that he already knew. And he said, "Who touched me?" He knew that virtue had gone out of him. And after he had laid his eyes upon this woman, and this woman came clean of what she had done, he said this to her, "Daughter, thy faith hath made thee whole. Go in peace and be whole of thy plague." I promise you it's going to be quick tonight. It's going to be faith-driven tonight. But I want to talk to you about the three lenses that we could find in this story. There are three lenses I want to bring your attention to tonight. I want to bring your attention in the 25th verse. We just read Mark's writings. Mark is the author of this book. He is writing on multiple stories within this fifth chapter. It starts off very heavy. There's a man that found himself in the tombs, and he's cutting himself, and no man can tame him, Brother Showstrand. And finally, he sees this Christ and knows that this is the mighty God in flesh, and finds himself upon the seashore, bowing down to the one and only. And he begins to write about the miracles after miracles. We're on a journey to Jairus' daughter, and upon that journey, we find a woman who is plagued with an issue of blood for 12 years. The Bible says that she spent all that she had, right? She was not bettered, but rather grew worse. This was a very difficult situation, not only because she was sick in her body, but because she was outcast as well because of the type of disease that she was plagued with. And in verse number 25, Mark writes this. Again, it's going to be quick tonight, but he writes this. He says, a certain woman which had an issue of blood 12 years. The lens, he is the author of this chapter, but Mark is giving us an opportunity to look through a certain set of lenses. And he begins telling this story by saying that there is a certain woman. It's a certain woman. And B, this certain woman has what he describes as an issue. Everybody say an issue of blood. I want to take your attention to the woman's perspective. Let's look through the woman's lenses here tonight. For she said, if I may touch but his clothes, I shall be whole. And straightway the fountain of her blood was dried up, and she felt in her body that she was healed of that plague. The lenses from the eyes of this certain woman is, if I just touch, if I can make my way, socially outcasted, everybody I touch may be unclean, but there is a certain circumstance, and I'm at a place where desperate times, right, call for desperate measures. And if I can just touch, but the hem, if you would, the edge of that garment, if I can touch those tassels, I know that I would be able to be made whole, or I would be healed of my plague. I'm not here to twist the story around, but rather just look through the particular lenses of Mark and then that certain woman. I understand who the author here is. I'm not trying to make something out of nothing. I think the perspective here is that maybe we could gain a little bit of understanding if we could see the way that Mark initially wrote about this woman. His perspective is that she is a certain woman. She's from somewhere. She belonged to someone. She was a social outcast. She's diseased for 12 years, and he has pegged her as a certain woman. She's there. We know she's there, and she invaded the crowd, and this is a part of the chapter that is about her. Not a lot of history before the 12 years. Not a lot of history is shown on her, not where she's from or what she's been a part of. Or yeah, we knew it's been a difficult situation, but we know that she's a certain woman. She's out there. She's now here. And she's just a certain woman. But he goes on to write that this certain woman has issues. She's got some issues. We've all got some issues. Me, probably a tad bit more than you. But we all have issues. And this certain woman has an issue of blood. But from her perspective, she would go on to say something like this: I just want to be whole. I know that if I can touch the hem of his garment, if I can touch but his clothes, then I should be healed of my plague. Mark says there's a certain woman that's got an issue. She said, I am that certain woman, and I want to be healed of my plague. You may call it what you want, but I know what it feels like. You may establish some type of verbiage. You can dictate what you think. You can label it as you want. You may call it an issue and look at it in general terms, but it's, to me, it's a plague. You can call it an issue if you want, but to me, it's a plague. It's a plague. You don't understand. You can write about it, Mark, but you haven't lived it. You've seen me from this perspective, and you can write about it from this perspective, but it's more than an issue to me. It's a plague. It's something that I couldn't begin to tell you what is taken from me. The Bible says all that she had, but I'm telling you, you can write what you want, Mark, but to this woman, she just needed to be released of the plague. As we move our way through this story, we find the interaction between this woman's faith. What a remarkable woman to say, I am desperate enough that no matter what anybody else may think or say, no matter what anybody else, however anybody else may label this, I've got to get to the hem of that garment. I've got to get to just the edge of the clothes because I want to be healed of my plague. And Jesus looks at her, and I think it's remarkable that he identifies how the miracle happened. It is your faith that hath made you whole. That's what he says. It's your faith, your faith, your faith. He's astounded in the scripture several times. He marvels. He's amazed by the faith of certain individuals. And this woman is no less an amazing God when he looks down and he says, daughter, your faith hath made thee whole. Now I want you to go in peace and be whole of your plague. We've talked about the lenses of Mark. We talked about the lenses of the woman. Can I take your attention to that 34th verse? And let's look through the lenses of Jesus Christ. He looks at her and he says, daughter. Mark wrote about her as a certain woman. If I could just touch the hem of his garment. And he looks down and he says, this is more than some certain woman. This right here is my daughter. Let's establish this fact right up front. You are not a certain woman. I know what you've been dealing with. I know what you've been going through. I'm touched by the feelings of your infirmity. I understand exactly what you have been and where you've been, and socially and physically and spiritually outcasted in society. So let's establish it right up front. You're not a certain woman to me. You exist to me. You matter to me. When you were there, I was there. When you took your first step, I took it with you. When you learned how to speak, I was there. Daughter, your faith. It's not a certain woman. And I'm here to establish something right now. We may feel like we're pegged somewhere out in the abyss and that some Elohim has no idea who we are. But I'm here to establish or remind to this great congregation of believers that your faith, daughter, your faith, son, let it be established. He knows exactly who you are and where you have been. a marvelous thing to me when we walk up in the presence of the Lord, and no matter what we bring to Him, no matter what baggage, no matter what situation, no matter what clutter, or it doesn't make a difference. We walk up to Him and we think that maybe, perhaps, He's not acquainted with the type of, oh, I can tell you right now, He understands exactly what you are dealing with. And I've come to combat any feelings of isolation, any feelings that you may feel like that He has segregated Himself from you in any type of manner. Oh no, I may not have met you, but I know who you are. It may be that this is the first time we have come in contact, but I know who you are. It establishes the fact that you don't have to be somewhere for X amount of years before He's associated with you, or He'll allow you to be associated to Him. It's our first interaction. But daughter, pastor's already said it just a second ago, if you haven't walked up here yet and you haven't lifted up your hands and repented of your sins and been filled with the Holy Ghost, you ought to come up and see if this God that we serve and that we stay committed to doesn't allow you to be a daughter or a son immediately. That's the type of God that we serve. Oh, Mark, you can call it how you want. You're the author of this book, and it is all in order. It's just the lenses. It's the perspective. It was a certain woman to you, Mark, but to Him, is a daughter. Is a daughter. And then He goes on to say, thy faith hath made thee whole. Go in peace and be whole of thy plague. Mark said she had an issue. The woman said, I just want to be healed of my plague. And Jesus said, go in peace and be whole of thy plague. It may not seem like there's a difference between an issue that Mark's describing and a plague that her and Jesus bring to our understanding. The issue is not incorrect, Mark. The issue literally means that flux, that flowing, that hemorrhage, that issue that she had. It specifically talks about the effects on her body, what was going on in that body of hers. So Mark, you are absolutely right. She had an issue, as we all have an issue. And it may be described in the mental sense. It may be described in the physical sense. It may be described in the psychological sense, or the spiritual sense, or the financial sense, or whatever it may be described in. We all have issues. We all have effects that are weighing us down, or makes us feel like we may be X, Y, and Z. We've got these issues, as she had that issue. Mark, you're not wrong, but let me tell you about this plague that she spoke of. She knew what she was dealing with on the outside, but it was the plague on the inside. And that term plague properly means a disease that literally carried a torturous level of pain. It is the same terminology that would be used as a scourge, a lash, a leather thong with pieces of metal sewn up in them. It would be associated with scourging or suffering or severe pain or even disease. And I can tell you something, there is nobody that understands what that scourging feels like our Jesus does. Mark, you could be associated with that issue, but I can tell you who could be associated with that plague. I don't ever want to think that I'm somewhere that He doesn't understand, that I'm in a position or a place I can bring something new to the table. I don't ever want to get into a position where I feel like that if I stepped up, He wouldn't be able to, exceeding abundantly above all. I'm dealing with the effects. I'm dealing with what's downriver, what's caught up downriver, when I need to be marching my way upriver and seeing what's going on in here. And we're dealing with some effects, ladies and gentlemen. We're starting to talk about the issues. We're talking about the issues. We've been dealing with the issues, and we're none better, but we rather grow worse because the issues, it's the issues, it's the issues, it's the effects, the effects, the effects. And I'm telling you what I felt in the Holy Ghost when Sister Shostan was talking about it. It went all up and down me. I felt like God was trying to increase the faith of this church, that there is a God that is well acquainted. You're not alone. I don't care what you're dealing with. And I know it may be easier for me to start talking about it when you find yourself dealing with that plague. I could hold the pen in my hand and I could start writing issue, 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 issue. But there's a God. And when you approach Him with that faith, with that faith, with that faith, Adam, why did you eat the fruit? Adam, why did you partake of the fruit? Adam, why did you do it, Eve? Why did you do it, Adam? This is what's going to happen to the serpent. This is what's going to happen to Eve. But Adam, because you hearkened unto the voice of your wife and hath eaten of the tree of which I commanded thee, saying, thou shalt not eat of it. Listen what happens. Cursed is the ground for thy sake. In sorrow thou shalt eat of it all the days of thy life. And I'm thinking as I woke up early this morning thinking about Genesis 3 and Mark 27 or Matthew 27. And this is the verses that's going over in my spirit. And when I'm thinking and praying about tonight's service, and all of a sudden it's like God telling me they're going to eat. You're going to eat, Adam, but it's going to be acquainted with sorrow. If you're going to eat, but it'll be acquainted with some sorrow. You're going to eat, Adam. What are you talking about? He goes on in verse number 18 to say, thorns also and thistles shall it bring forth to thee, and thou shalt eat of the herb of the field. You're going to eat. There is a promise on the other side. You're going to eat, Adam. I'm not going to let you starve. You're going to eat. There is a promise. You're going to eat. But with that comes thorns and thistles. And then generation after generation after generation. It's the curse of man. It's the curse of man. It's the curse of man. And we have a promised child. And thou shalt call his name Jesus. For he shall save his people from their sins. And he grows up. And 33 plus years later, we find him walking down a lonely road with a cross beam on his shoulder, and he lays down on that wretched road, and they pull him up into position and set him into place, and over the top of his head, what is written is written. Jesus of Nazareth, King of the Jews. And right below that sign was the head of the Almighty God manifested in flesh. And upon that head was the only crown that he would ever familiarize himself with on earth. Adam, don't you eat. Don't you eat, Adam. Don't. This is what. And Adam partakes the fruit, and cursed is the ground. You're going to eat. There is a promise. There is a promise. There is a promise. You're going to eat. And in my spirit this morning, I feel like I was sitting here tonight to tell you, you're going to eat. You're going to eat. You're going to eat. It's going to happen. He is not slack concerning his promises. His promises are yea and amen. And once he has established them, so he will follow through on them. And it will be accompanied with thorns and thistles. Adam, you're going to eat. But there's going to be some things that you have to face. There's going to be some things that you might have to face. But I've been sitting here tonight to tell this congregation, you will eat. It's going to happen. You're going to partake of the promised bread that God has promised this church. Whether it is corporately, whether it is individually, you're going to eat. Somebody, I wish you would believe it tonight. You're going to eat. It's going to happen. It is for you. And if God is for you, then who can be against you? You'll eat. But there is a God that wanted man to realize. He wanted him to realize one thing, that you will not deal with this curse alone. You won't deal with this plague alone. You won't deal with the thorns and the thistles alone. Because he put that crown on, or they put it. He allowed them to put that crown on. And as they pushed that into his brow and they pierced his skin with the curse of man, as they put that into him, what they were doing is saying, you are the king of the curse. You're the king of the pierced. You're the king of the wounded. Because with a crown comes kingship. And he was saying, I don't need a crown made of gold and of silver and of jewels. Give me the crown that man has been that has accompanied man. Give me the crown that man is so familiar with. And you put it upon my head, and you let me be the God of that. And I don't know where you are, daughter. I don't know where you are, son. But I've been sent here to tell you that he is acquainted with what you are dealing with. Mark, it's an issue. Oh no. To her, it's a plague. It's a scourging of my flesh. I am acquainted with that. I am acquainted with that. And I wonder if the musicians could come. And I wonder if we could just stand right now. And in reverence of the God that your pastor spoke about this morning, that we would give him an opportunity to begin to speak into our hearts. Because what I feel in my spirit is there is some of us that feel like that all we will ever be able to do is to deal with these issues. Come on, I know there's some weights. I can feel it in my spirit here tonight. There are some weights in this house. Where is the sin that doth so easily beset me? Where is the shame? Where is the guilt? I'm not like them because I know you're a daughter of mine. He didn't start off with any other words, just daughter. Daughter. Who touched me? Well, one of my kids. Come on. I feel like tonight we may step out in faith. A, believing that God can. He wants to come true on that promise tonight. I am all ready for the miraculous hand of God to move. But maybe there's some of us that whether God established it tonight or whether God said, I want you to come into my presence because I want to show you that I'm acquainted with what you are dealing with. You're not alone. You're not alone. I'm here to tell somebody you're not alone. Is that all right? You're not alone. As we begin to sing and worship the Lord, and as we reverence the Lord right now, why don't we come lifting our hands towards the heaven and allow him to call out unto me as a son and you as a daughter. Reach up.
Now behold,
it's not an issue to him. It's not an issue to him.
The precious Lamb of God.
Why don't you reach your hands towards the heaven right now?
Born into sin that I may live again.
Oh, Jesus.
The precious Lamb of God.
You're the King of the cursed. Oh, somebody cry. Jesus, I need you. I need you tonight, Lord. Let him impress. Let him wrap those hands, those nail-scarred hands around you.
The precious lamb.